And that's how I think we should best understand our relationship with God. In the same way that we understand a relationship with a human being. You can't be friends with somebody very well and get to know them or keep up to date with their life if you don't speak to them for 10 years. You might be able to go back if you meet a friend that you've lost contact with, and because you have a shared history, start where you left off. But still, it's those conversations that you had when you were close that you build upon. Speaking to someone is important, and speaking to God is important in your relationship with Him. And that's what prayer is. So I'm really wanting to talk to you about prayer. But we don't have time to talk about all aspects of prayer this morning. There are, as you've heard, different types of prayer, I'm sure. You can ask God for things, requests. Those are called prayers of petition, if you want to be really formal. Or you can ask God for things on behalf of other people, ask Him to give other people things. Those are, it's just left my mind, I've had a senior moment. What do you call that?
Intercession.
When you pray for other people. Mm-hmm. But you understand what I mean. Intercession. There we go. Intercession. Prayers of petition. That's just asking for things for yourself. Prayers of requests for other people. Intercession. When you intercede or pray for other people. Prayers of praise. When you just express to God or tell Him how wonderful He is and how glad you are to have Him in your life. And you're grateful for your salvation and that Jesus has died for you and risen again. Prayers of praise. Prayers of thanksgiving, where you thank God for things. So all the different aspects of conversation appear in prayer, because that's what prayer is. Conversation with God. But, you know, sometimes when I get on my knees, or when I'm sitting in my chair in the manse, and I'm talking to God, I have a list in my mind of things. Now, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that, Lord, and I want you to do this, and I want you to do that. Could be a right long list sometimes, and that's fine, because the Bible says, pray without ceasing, and take all your requests to God. Don't worry about anything. Take your requests to God, and He will hear. And Jesus said, anything you ask me in my name, believe it, I will do it for you. Now sometimes He doesn't answer our prayers in the way that we want, because He knows what we need. But you'll get an answer. And if you're praying in the right spirit, in the right attitude, without being selfish, and you've got a heart that's right before God, you'll want things. You'll be more likely to want things or to make requests that are in line with His will. Your mind will be more in sync or on the same wavelength as His. So you're not just going to ask Him for a mansion or ask Him to help you marry the most beautiful model who's ever been on a catwalk, or to let you drive a Rolls Royce when all you've got is a Volvo. Maybe He wants to put you into perspective, but He'll answer your prayers. And sometimes, as some of you know, His answer is no. But how do you get answers from God? Jesus promises you will get answers if you ask in His name, believe it. One of the most important aspects of any conversation, when you're having a conversation with somebody, is listening. And we hear very little about that when we hear about prayer in Christian church these days. I wonder if you're like me at all. But when you go to pray, you have a list already. And you're ready to just list it off and tick it off and tick it off and tick it off. I want you to do this and I want you to do that. And I want you to do this and be with that person and help that person and heal this one. and help me with my finances and give me this and give me that and give me, give me, give me. It's almost at times like you're giving orders to God. And then you have to ask yourself, well, who's God in this relationship? But you might say, but in order to listen for God, we can't hear His voice audibly. A lot of people would say to me, He doesn't speak to people with a voice that we can hear with our ears. And that's true in many ways. Sometimes He has actually spoken audibly, like He did to Elijah in this little story, although He spoke very quietly. But God usually speaks to us in our hearts rather than into our ears. Now, why is that? Why is that? I think for one main reason, which we find, really, in the book of Romans, and I'm going to flip there just now. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 17, it says, the good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. That is Scripture, Bible. But this is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the Scriptures say, it is through faith that a righteous person has life. And in the King James Version, the Old Authorized Version, it says, the just shall live by faith. That is a righteous person. Someone who is right with God will live by his or her faith. God wants us to approach Him in faith. So when you're talking to Him, you must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who come to Him in faith. And that's what it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Our relationship with Him depends on faith. But some people even have problems with that. Why is that? And I've even asked God, why does it all have to depend on faith? Why can't you just come down and it can depend on proof? We can see you and touch you and hear your voice like we can other people, other relationships, the rest of our relationships that we have. Why can't it just depend on proof? And sometimes, in my more doubtful and faithless moments in life when I'm feeling weak, I just wish it was that way. I just wish You'd come down here and say something loud and clear to me, Lord. But faith takes humility. And that, I think, is why God wants us to depend on faith. In order for you to quieten yourself and speak to God, and then, even more so, to stop speaking to Him and give Him a space to speak in your prayer time, to listen for His voice, takes humility. A person who lives by faith will gradually become ever more humble. And God Himself is actually, grand as He is humble. He humbled Himself and became a human being. And He wasn't a show-off. And He let people spit on Him and insult Him, to the point where He allowed Himself to be killed and He died. But then He rose again from the dead to save us. That took great patience and humility. And He wants to work that attribute into your and my life. And that's one of the main reasons why Christians depend on faith. Faith keeps us humble. But God does speak to people. He speaks to people. For one thing, a lot of times, instead of speaking to you audibly, He'll show you things. Instead of speaking to you or me in words, He shows us things. And I'll explain this to you kind of from a male perspective. You'll see why. When a fellow is sitting in a room, especially if you're a young, red-blooded male, and you're sitting in a classroom at university, say, or in high school, and some beautiful young woman walks into the room, then it's like it was for Elijah. Wow, she walks in, it's like a whirlwind. Oh, this beautiful vision appears in a whirlwind and lights a fire in your heart, if you're the man. I don't know what it's like for women. When you see your knight in shining armor, maybe it's the same way, I don't know. But I know what it's like for us. But then, you know, if you work up the courage and you ask her out, what word are women best at saying? No. That's what it seems like sometimes to us boys. So you fancy someone, you've seen this whirl into the vision, she's lit the fire in your heart. But the word is no. She's not God's will for you. His voice was not in the whirlwind. His voice was not in the fire. But one day there might be a yes from someone. And it might not be the one that you expected or fantasized or dreamed about. Nevertheless, it'll be a beautiful but still small voice, a tiny whisper. But it'll be a yes. God can orchestrate events in our lives to show us things, to teach us things. He can speak to us through situations instead of through words. But sometimes, if you give Him enough time, if you give Him enough space in your prayer life, He will speak in words. But you can actually practice hearing His voice, and that is what Scripture is for. Practicing is important. Training in listening for God's voice. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says that. Training for godliness is important. Training for godliness is important. Godliness, physical training is good in this life, but training for godliness benefits us for this life and in the next. That's 1 Timothy, verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 8. How do we train for godliness? Well, one thing is to read at least a little bit of His Word, Scripture, every day. A great old preacher once said, if you want to know what God thinks, read the Bible. Read Scripture. So every day, maybe before you pray, read a portion of the Bible. I read it after I pray, usually. So I pray first and get it all off my chest. And then I read some Scripture. And you'd be surprised. When you read Scripture after you pray, how some of the verses just jump off the page and answer some of your questions. You don't have to read screeds and screeds every day, but involve at least a little bit of Scripture in your conversation with God. It gives Him a chance to show you what His thinking is like. And it gives Him a chance to speak back to you. In John chapter 10, in the first four verses, it says this, I tell you the truth, Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold, rather than going through the gate, must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep recognize his voice and come to him. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. They know God's voice, their shepherd's voice. And exposing yourself to Scripture is exposing yourself to God's thinking. He might as well be talking to you audibly. His Holy Spirit inspired people to write down his own words. So you get used to his thinking the more you expose yourself to Scripture. And he can begin to speak to you as Scripture comes to mind, even when you don't have a Bible in front of you. He can reassure you with some verse of Scripture that you learned in the past or even recently. He can give you an answer. And sometimes he'll speak without quoting Scripture from his Bible. But because you have become so familiar with the kind of things he will say, a thought that just is dropped into your heart right when you need it, you realize is from him. Practice this today when you get home. Elijah did not hear the voice of God dramatically in the whirlwind. Elijah did not discern the voice of God in the fire, but in a still small whisper. And that's how God likes to speak to people who will calm themselves down, humble themselves, and in faith, give God time to speak. Listen for his voice today. Give him a little bit of time at least when you pray tonight to speak to you. Amen. Let us now come to him with our communion service. words of institution as they were written by the Apostle Paul in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23-26. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave God thanks for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again." Let us pray. Lord Jesus, continue to speak to us. You speak to us in our hearts. You train us to hear your small voice. And yet, the more training we get in listening, the more powerfully your voice can speak. A still small, yet powerful voice. Speak to those of us in this room who really need to be spoken to by their God this morning, just now, deep within our hearts. Perhaps you need to show someone something, Lord. As you showed us your great salvation when you died and rose again for all humanity, for all those who would believe in you. Remind us that your death and resurrection, remind us this very morning, your death and resurrection were for each one of us individually, as well as for anyone else in humanity who would believe in you. Father, we thank you for sending your Son, and we thank you for giving your Holy Spirit to each one of us so that we can hear your voice by faith in our hearts. Strengthen our faith today. As we take communion, as we eat your body and drink your blood, we ask you, Lord, to nourish us spiritually, truly and deeply. As we speak to you, train our hearts to hear your voice, and we ask you to speak to us. Beginning now, as in our hearts, we pray the prayer that you taught us, saying, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Although this is not a usual communion, it's still communion. This is still bread. On the night on which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after he gave thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup and said, "This cup is the New Testament sealed in my blood, that the sins of many might be forgiven. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." This is the body of Christ, broken for you. As often as you eat it in remembrance of him.
might be forgiven. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is the blood of Christ.